Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Buyers Agency Australia.
And, you know, within that strategy meeting, you know, drag them out as feel comfortable and really try to understand what is it that we're trying to achieve. And I guess the reason, the question that Dragon was asking was the why. What is that you want out of it? Why are you looking into property and what are your goals?
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with Alex Jeladev, the hard worker with a heart of gold who's setting off on his investment journey. He shares how he got to where he is today, both professionally and in property, and what keeps him so humble and grounded. Plus, he reintroduces us to the tall man who appeared to save him when he needed it most. Jeladev is the first to admit his surname often throws people for a loop, but luckily, he's just the type to roll with it and laugh it off. As a general manager at Catholic Care, his days are varied and busy with a lot going on, which is just the way he likes it. He's dedicated to his rewarding role and recognises the privileges he has that simply aren't offered to some.
At the moment, we support, you know, quite vulnerable people with disability through our NDIS-funded disability support. So I manage a team of staff that deliver day services and day programs, individualised programs, weekend supports, drop-in home supports. We also provide support independent living services, so full 24-hour all-of-life care for people with disability in a group home setting, support coordination within the NDIS space. And also, from a senior's perspective, we deliver Commonwealth Home Support Program, so known as CHSP, over the Central Coast and Northern Sydney areas. So that's a bit of a snapshot in terms of what Catholic Care does in that space. So I general manage, within that particular division. Yeah, relatively new. So March of this year, I moved across to Catholic Care. Prior to that, I was working with another disability service provider called Northcott. So I was working there as an acting senior operations manager and service manager as well. So both, in the disability sector.
He was born and raised in Western Sydney, growing up in the suburb of Abbotsbury. His childhood was a time full of outdoorsy adventures, but like any good child, it involved his fair share of computer games as well.
I grew up and went to Fairfield Patrician Brothers High School in Fairfield. Got my secondary education there. And after that, I went to university at Western Sydney University and did a Bachelor of Social Work degree. I've grown up in a family of five kids, grew up in a big family, have really, really lucky to have really loving parents. So they've always gone and gone above and beyond to make sure that we kids had, an awesome life, awesome start to our life here in Australia. So always a busy household. We were very busy playing a lot of sports. My dad, was very active when he was growing up, so very much involved in rugby league. So I played a lot of football through primary school and through high school, played a lot of representative football for Patrician Brothers College Fairfield as well, played for lower grades in Parramatta Eagles as well. So very, very active, always going to a training session somewhere, always kept busy. I think my dad did it on purpose to get us out of trouble. So always very busy as kids. We'll either, you know, pop in the boat on the tow ball and going down to the river, going water skiing. So a very, very active family, you know, very outdoors, love getting out on boats, fishing, camping, hiking. So very, very active childhood. We had our LAN parties, don't worry. We used to play a few, bit of COD, bit of this, bit of that. So it was all mixed in there. So very outdoors, but we also like the technology side of things as well.
He played football all the way through high school and planned to continue when he started university. However, a couple of injuries stood in his way.
That then created, yeah, a fork in the road, you know, for me, whether I decided to go down the path of sport or go down the path, you know, of a profession. And, you know, that's where I started looking around. And social work, you know, was a really good fit for myself, my upbringing, you know, and my values as well. So that's kind of why I went down the track, you know, of social work.
While many reach a crossroads when they approach the end of high school, Gelative wasn't one of them.
For some reason, look, I never had the desire to go and travel abroad. That never kind of was a major interest for me. For me, what I really wanted to do with the support of my parents was to get a good education. So after high school, I didn't, you know, elect to go and take a, you know, a year break or year off. So we went down the track of looking at what options kind of suited my personality, what traits and, you know, general care factor really in life. So that kind of guided me to go down the track of giving social work a go. And, you know, after the first couple of semesters, I was hooked.
He gives us an overview of the area of social work he's in and why it appeals to him the way it does.
Social work is pretty much a bridge between, you know, allied health, therapy supports, psychology, and it really takes a higher level view in terms of a person's situation. So it depends what kind of context you're looking at. If you're looking from a health perspective, working within a hospital setting, you know, a community social work perspective as well. But it really takes, you know, looks at a global view of what's happening for a person, you know, in a particular situation. It doesn't focus on one particular impact or one particular thing happening in a person's life. It looks at the holistic, you know, process of a person's situation. So it might look at if a person maybe come discharged at a hospital, for example, it'll look at the whole social aspect of that person's life, look at their support networks, it'll look, and all that ties into all the allied health supports and other professions. So it helps kind of bridge a lot of the gaps that you find in a lot of other sectors.
That's the beauty about social work, is that you can actually look at a holistic point of view, because I know you can easily just go to like maybe a physio or psychologist and individual services. But the problem is that if it doesn't fit into the overall big picture things, then it can get a little bit skewed. And
yeah, and it's really a linking role. So you'll find a lot of the time in, you know, whether in a hospital discharge process or, you know, community social work, they're usually the ones that head up those meetings. They're usually the ones that, you know, take charge and take lead, and there's a linking role between the different professions and looks at the person holistically.
When most people say they went a bit silly after high school, it's usually a less than family-friendly story involving alcohol. But his university silliness was a very different brand.
I was a bit silly, so I pretty much worked full-time while I was doing full-time university. Look, I loved it. And look, I was working casual and part-time for a disability service as well, where I was working, you know, shift work, within the disability sector whilst I was studying at university as well. So it gave me a real life feel and example in terms of what's realistically out there. It just really lit my fire even more working with, you know, people with disability, looking at, you know, really vulnerable communities as well. So it really, really did inspire me on to give it all my all in university. So hindsight, I probably would have gone part-time, taken a little bit easier on myself. but I guess that's all part of the journey. It was a really good real-world test.
He did some placements in hospitals, which gave him a different perspective and ultimately helped him choose the community path he's now on.
I have the utmost respect for social workers in the health field, in hospitals. But I quickly found, you know, that wasn't for me. It was very, I found it very transactional and episodic, where in the field that I'm in now, in disabilities and in seniors, I have that continuity of support and continuity of care, you know, and connection with our families and our customers as well. So, when someone's discharged from hospital, it was really hard to know, or you don't know what the outcome was. There's a lot of unknown. Whereas in this space, working, you know, with a provider that has, you know, supports people with all of life care or more ongoing supports, there's that continuity. And that's where I gravitated towards that model of support versus being in mainstream social work, because I had that daily connection. May not be with every particular client or family every single day, but over a period of time, you maintain those connections, maintain those relationships. You can see progress. You can see when goals are achieved, outcomes are achieved. So it's more rewarding, I find, to have that ongoing continuity and connection rather than, going through hospital. It is a very busy environment. There's a lot of pressures going on. So I find it more rewarding have that continuity of contact.
He started working in the disability sector as a casual before he did his placement, and essentially just wanted to give it a go.
In a few of my uni courses, uni units, there was discussions around, you know, people with disability, around the upcoming NDIS, movement away from your general block funding model that was, you know, there at the time. And I was intrigued. I was like, okay, interesting. So I wanted to learn more about that. And that's why I jumped in to my first casual role and started working, you know, with that vulnerable community.
Coming up after the break, Jeladev gets into the big pluses behind property investment.
The option where we got real growth, real opportunity, and really to just get back to what we love rather than focusing on all the bills, you know, all the funds coming out, cost of living has gone through the roof. So
we delve into property and the big question on many young couples' minds.
So we were obviously in a rental situation. We just got married and wanted to make a decision, you know, do we continue renting ourselves or do we go and buy a property? So
he details the moment he met the man who would change it all for the better.
It was very well advertised, so it was very sleek, very clean. I was like, okay, well, this is worth a look.
And that's next. I'm Tarun Sham and you're listening to Property Investory. Do you find yourself stressed out not knowing how or where to find the best property deals? Or what the best strategy is to build a wealth-generating portfolio? Well, Dragan Dominski can help you, while you save time and money. With about two decades of experience as an investor and expert buyer's agent, he finds positively geared properties with development potentials and secures and negotiates off-market deals for his clients. Now, he's offering you a no-obligation 45-minute strategy call to get you started. Just simply text the code BAA with your name and email address to 0405 105 074 to get your no-obligation free 45-minute strategy call. Jeladev started working in the disability sector in 2008. His innate talent in the field allowed him to progress quickly in his roles.
In the first role I started in was supporting people with dual diagnosis. So it was working with people with both a physical and psychosocial disability. So you may have someone with a physical disability where they may have been really struggling with their mental health. So, you know, that is a challenge in itself. So I worked in that environment for about 4 years, 5 years. And then after that period, then I started, NDIS wasn't far away, and wanted to know more about the NDIS. So I started to look for other roles, that might allow me to go into, a non-gov role. So initially I was in a government role. Then I moved to an organization called Cerebral Palsy Alliance. And, you know, they're based on the Northern Beaches. And they were also a fantastic, you know, organization to work for. They had fantastic training, really, really fantastic cause that they were working for. So that gave me an opportunity to look and learn more about physical disability rather than the mental health side of things. So, you know, we supported people predominantly with cerebral palsy. You know, a lot of those customers, you know, were either semi or non-ambulant. So it was a very, very different, you know, cohort, you know, of clients to start to learn, to get to know their needs. So that in itself gave me a completely different appreciation, you know, to people, you know, with disability, whereas previously I'd support, you know, clients that are very ambulant, so able to mobilize independently, able to communicate, you know, reasonably well, where, you know, on the other hand, now you're working with a cohort that's quite vulnerable, that's non-ambulant, you know, and you know, oftentimes they're not, you know, non-verbal. So, you know, that really helped me, you know, with a lot of humility, and really kind of helped me kind of focus on, you know, all the positive things that were happening in my life that I took for granted.
This helped to ground him and solidify his passion and desire to support people with disability.
And also the teams of staff and managers, you know, providing supports. I think it really did help my career in understanding, you know, some of the challenges that staff, you know, do go and, you know, are forced with from day to day in the best of times. Funding, although the NDIS funding has been an amazing, you know, step in the right direction, there's still an ongoing battle, unfortunately, for a lot of clients and families that are still, unfortunately, fighting, you know, to get the right level of funding. So being there and understanding the process, being there for, you know, their plan reviews, the preparation just for a plan review is humongous in terms of, you know, getting all the participants, supportive documentation, you know, OT reports, speech reports, you know, physio reports. There's a lot that goes into, you know, putting together, you know, funding for a participant for a financial year or wherever the plan length may be. So that's where I got a lot of that exposure in preparing those annual plan reviews, you know, for clients and with the families as well. So that was a really big eye-opener into the NDIS. So I definitely, you know, had a great appreciation for people with disability and their families as well. So that really kind of opened me up to the NDIS and, you know, a different mindset for the world of disabilities for the better. So that was kind of my journey into Cerebral Palsy Alliance. That's where I've really got my, you know, opportunities for leadership, which I'm very, very grateful for. Had some really good leaders that are still, you know, at Cerebral Palsy Alliance and still doing fantastic work there. So I can't praise them enough.
Jellydev and his wife Kat always knew they wanted to do something within property. They just weren't sure what would suit them best. However, the end goal has always been crystal clear.
The key word that we're looking for is financial freedom. Yeah, that's what we're really after. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, we could continue working in the field that we love, right, and focus all of our attention on the areas that we love rather than paying a mortgage. That's pretty much it. and we saw, you know, getting into property investing as one of the main solutions for us that fit our profile and fit our, you know, exposure to risk. And we felt that is, you know, in our perspective, the safest option, the option where we got real growth, real opportunity, and really to just get back to what we love rather than focusing on all the bills, you know, all the funds coming out, cost of living has gone through the roof. So we wanted to kind of safeguard ourselves. That's kind of how we started to think that way. We've been thinking that way for a couple of years now.
While they've purchased the principal place of residence, they had always been on the sidelines watching friends and family invest. Until now.
In terms of our place of residence, we ended up moving up from the Shire, which my wife would not forgive me for. Kat will giggle after this, but so we're always very close to the water. We're down at Sylvania Water, so I've dragged her all the way up to Gosford, as you would say, and purely for affordability. So we were obviously in a rental situation. We just got married and wanted to make a decision, you know, do we continue renting ourselves or do we go and buy a property? So we both agreed that we would go and buy our own property. And we started looking around. It probably took us about 6 months. And look, we'll definitely me, I was definitely a novice in looking for property. I wasn't really aware of what to look out for, you know, but we landed into a property here in Carrion on the Central Coast. Good decision. Good decision. Good decision. So we moved up here in, what, 2017? No, 2016, something like that. So more recently, we ended up going to – we wanted more information about investing in property. So we went to a recent property investment expo in Sydney. I think it was the International Convention Centre. I think it was early this year. I think we walked in there like goldfish. We didn't know what we're looking for. So we'll walk in and to admit, we're so overwhelmed. We're really, really overwhelmed.
Yeah, there's a lot of information out there.
There's a lot of information out there, and I put myself in the shoes of a person with disability. There are other expos that do occur a couple of times a year, both at ICC, in Homebush, in other areas, and I could really try to understand how that felt. I was so overwhelmed with so many exhibitors, so much information, you know, being thrown at you. And I just said to Kat, I said, oh, look, this is just so, too much. So we had to pace ourselves and walk through and, yeah, we'll take a brochure here. Yeah, okay, right. Very transactional. and then we came across a very tall character standing in a store.
He's quite tall, yes.
And we introduced myself, and Dragon introduced himself, and I was like, oh, okay. So we got talking, and you know, Dragon was really we just felt he was really approachable. He had a genuine conversation with us around what we wanted, and you know, that conversation out of the whole day really helped us get a bit of an understanding into property investment, and you know, some reassurance that we're heading in the right direction. Absolutely. So Dragon was at his stall, Buyers Agency Australia. You know, it was very well advertised, so it was very sleek, very clean. I was like, okay, well, this is worth a look. You know, yeah. And then after we got talking, Dragon gave us that assurance, and that got us to the point where, you know, we were happy to go for a follow up strategy meeting with Dragon. And you know, within that strategy meeting, you know, Dragon made us feel comfortable and really try to understand what is it that we're trying to achieve. And I guess the reason, well, the question that Dragon was asking was the why. What is that you want out of it? Why are you looking into property? And what are your goals? So we're able to have a real candid conversation. And we had, you know, laid out our goals, you know, to Dragon in terms of, you know, that financial freedom, you know, what passive income, you know, would we like to see, you know, over a period of time, and being realistic about things as well. So, you know, Dragon was really, really good, you know, around listening, setting those goals out, and really just clarifying, you know, and listening, reflective listening, like we like to say, to really both understand what our goals are, to really make sure that both parties are really compatible, you know, because not everyone's going to fit with everyone. Everyone's got different personalities, different needs, different goals. And I guess that's something I really do respect, you know, for Dragon is taking the time to go and make that assessment to make sure we both are compatible and we both meet each other's needs. And, you know, it was really, really clear from the onset in terms of our goals. And from there, we start on the journey, and as Dragon had said, your first property is always going to be your most challenging property. Yeah, it wasn't wrong. But look, with Dragon's guidance, we're able to be steered in the right direction in terms of being linked up to, you know, really good quality brokers. You know, we have an existing accountant, so from that perspective, that was all good. We've got a trusted accountant, so that makes a world of difference. But from the other side of things, yeah, he did really help link up to really key people that you need to have, one of which is, you know, obviously your broker. From there, we looked at a property which we just settled on recently in southeast Queensland.
When it comes to their goals, the Gelatives see themselves as a little ambitious, whereas others may see them as a young couple with reasonable goals and an achievable dream.
One of our first priorities and goals was to upgrade the family home. So being in Gosford, we love being on the waterside. One of our goals is to move to a waterfront property. That's one of our ultimate goals. And obviously that's not a cheap affair. So that was one of our primary goals. In terms of the waterfront property that we looked at about between 5 to 7 years. That's the time frame we set for that, thinking, look, it'll be realistic enough to potentially look at that.
Alex Gelatives' story continues in the next episode of Property Investory. We dive into first investment property jitters.
The experience was, I'd say, honestly, really, really positive. Obviously, coming into our first purchase, we were so anxious. We were so nervous. We're about to spend quite a substantial amount of money.
How being pointed in the right direction and given options to consider opened his eyes.
And at the end of the day, we've made the decision, but it really, really helped us and opened our eyes up.
He reveals how much he spent on his first investment property and his expected equity uplift.
I guess the bonus to that is, you know, using Buyers Agency Australia and using Dragon, we're able to get a really good deal. And we got well below the market value as well. And that's something that gave us the edge.
And that's next time on Property Investory. Do you find yourself stressed out not knowing how or where to find the best property deals? Or what the best strategy is to build a wealth-generating portfolio? Well, Dragon Dominski can help you, while you save time and money. With about 2 decades of experience as an investor and expert buyer's agent, he finds positively geared properties with development potentials and secures and negotiates off-market deals for his clients. Now, he's offering you a no-obligation 45-minute strategy call to get you started. Just simply text the code BAA with your name and email address to 0405 105 074 to get your no-obligation free 45-minute strategy call.